suspicions that disturb the minds of the willing. Many even experience difficulty to sleep. A poor man does not experience such problems, although he has to face other difficulties. The poor and the rich can only be happy if they enjoy contentment and do not crave for what they cannot get. One day, the Buddha had to sleep in the jungle without any shelter during the winter when he was traveling. The next morning, when he came out from the jungle, he met a prince. The prince asked the Buddha where he was coming from. The Buddha said that he was coming from the jungle where he had spent the night. When the prince asked whether he had slept happily and peacefully, the Buddha said, he slept peacefully and happily, not only that night, but always. Why did he say that he would sleep peacefully always? It was because there was no worries and disturbances in his mind, and his mind was always pure. He was free from family problems or property problems. Therefore, he slept peacefully. But our minds are not free from problems. That is why we are not happy and find it difficult to sleep peacefully. So, attachment frees our emotions temporarily and at the same time disturb the peace in our mind. However, the Buddha did not advise us to give up attachment all at once if we want to lead a household life. He pointed out how attachment can create disturbances, but took pains to explain also that life can become very miserable or dull without attachments. Therefore, when we develop attachment, we have to think about the dark side of the attachment in order to avoid worries and other disturbances. We do not know the difference between emotional satisfaction and happiness. The pleasurable feeling that people gain through the five senses to quench the thirst of their craving is called emotional satisfaction. People regard this satisfaction as happiness. They are crazy for this satisfaction, yet nearly all of our human problems, corruption and immoral practices are caused by this desire for sense pleasures. The peace, tranquility that we experience in our mind can be regarded as happiness. It is impossible to experience this happiness as long as fear, suspicion, excitement, jealousy, and responsibilities prevail in the mind. The ambition that we develop can create disappointment and frustration if they are of a selfish nature. Religious knowledge is important for us to face such problems and to maintain a healthy mental attitude in order to avoid worries. This understanding is also important for us to face the natural world conditions which are unfavorable. Every existing thing is subject to this universal nature of worldly conditions. When changes and separation take place, we must adjust our way of life. It is meaningless to say that Buddhism does not permit people to have craving and attachment. Buddhism never lays down laws that people must follow. But Buddhism explains the repercussions that occur when one becomes a slave to craving and attachment. People are not at liberty to experience worldly pleasures and attachments without paying the price of worries, miseries, and disturbances. They must be prepared to accept the consequences if they really want to enjoy worldly life through sensual pleasures. Those who are unaware of the consequences will be deeply disappointed when, due to old age or sickness, they can no longer enjoy these pleasures. People who are not ready to face these problems commit suicide or end up in mental institutions. So do not call Buddhism a pessimistic religion simply because it points out these realities in life. We have already discussed how to reduce our craving and why we need to do so. So far we have explained the nature of craving for others' property and the nature of craving for our own property. But still, we have craving for our physical body. This craving and attachment is so strong that we are willing to protect or to save even one finger on our body by spending thousands of dollars. Most people are not willing to sacrifice anything from their body for the welfare of others. They are prepared to protect their physical body at the cost of others. But understanding people are willing to sacrifice something from their physical body for the welfare of others. By doing so, they reduce their strong attachment toward this body. After some time, when they come to know the real and impermanent nature of the physical body, then they will agree to sacrifice their organs in order to save the other's life. A person who can understand the uncertainty or the impermanence of life is willing to sacrifice his life to save others or for the sake of principles or great virtues. To him, principles are more important than his life. This is the way how understanding people reduce their craving a step by step. The main purpose of eradication of craving is to be free from all the existing problems, worries, and physical and mental sufferings. The Buddha reduced this craving life after life by cultivating virtues, eradicating mental defilements, and sacrificing his worldly pleasures, and even sacrificing his life on numerous occasions for the sake of others to gain his enlightenment and to save others from suffering. Great people are willing to sacrifice their life to relieve others' suffering. To them, life is nothing, but services are more important. Jesus Christ, Socrates, and Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King, also had to sacrifice their life for the sake of others, but their names can never die. The whole world remembers and respects them. On the other hand, all the others who developed selfishness and violated the peace and happiness of mankind are never respected or are remembered with horror and looting after their death. Just think how Stalin and Hitler are regarded today. The real human values are in our virtues and principles and not in the physical body. Realizing this, we must try not to harm others to preserve this physical body for selfish reasons. When we destroy our attachment to the physical body, we are still not free from rebirth and the pain of existence. We still have craving for existence again and again. Some people develop selfish desire to have permanent existence in heaven or paradise, to enjoy an existence of pleasure. Some others crave to be born in very rich families to have a pleasurable worldly life. All these ambitions are only for their own benefit. Such ambitions can be classified as craving. One day, we had to get rid of all kinds of craving. Otherwise, we will never gain permanent peace, happiness, liberation, or salvation. This aspiration for liberation is not to be confused with selfish ambition or craving for sensual worldly pleasures. Today, the whole world has turned into a battlefield because of selfish desire. Why do people want to harm others and swindle others? Why do they want to practice all kinds of immoral activities and illegal practices? It is due to their selfish craving for pleasure. They also increase pressure in their life and many kinds of disturbances and sufferings. Immortality or everlasting existence is a sugar-coated word to satisfy our craving. Without this concept of eternal life, people cannot rationalize their thirst for craving. People have created an imaginary eternal place for them to remain and enjoy their life without facing any kind of suffering. Naturally, they cling to this comforting belief and never try to understand whether it is true or not. They do not know the real nature of existence. Sometimes, Buddhists who do not understand the teachings fall easy prey to those who talk about happiness in an eternal heaven. When some religionists come and tell them that there is such a place by describing it beautifully, they believe and succumb to the craving for eternal life. Many people are not ready to accept the truth. They think that the truth must be favorable. Otherwise, they turn a deaf ear to the truth, which may not be pleasant for one who is a slave to sense pressure. The truth is natural and unbiased. We should not face disappointment when we come to study the universal qualities of nature. If the truth is not satisfactory according to our selfish needs, our duty is to understand the truth. We cannot change the truth to suit to our taste. The existence again and again as rebirth, according to our own karma, extinct attachments and craving. This in turn create decay, sickness and death. This is the unsatisfactoriness in any part of the universe where existence takes place. The more we remain in the cycle of birth and death, the more we struggle for existence and commit many kinds of wrong actions. We will never completely gain what we need to satisfy our craving. Satisfying our desire is a losing battle. As soon as we satisfy one desire, we get tired of it and seek for fresh ways to satisfy it. For example, we may crave for durian when they are out of season. But if we have durians every day, we will wish we had some other goods. And drug addicts are never satisfied because they are always looking for new and stronger drugs. The Buddha did not talk about an eternal existence or immortal life to tempt us because he knew the real nature of existence. He wanted us to understand the uncertainty of will of existence. Existence is the main cause of all our problems or happiness. Simply by maintaining some vague belief, we would not get what we want. They are figments of the imagination. The universal nature is unbiased and does not operate in our favor simply because we wish it or to be so. We are subject to the natural forces. Our ignorance regarding this unbiased law does not grant pardon us for our mistakes. An innocent child may die due to his ignorant act when he touches a live electric wire. We cannot argue that he must live because he was innocent. The cause of his death is ignorance. The universal law does not operate on hatred or kindness or revenge or anger. Therefore, our duty is to live in accordance with this law and adjust our way of life without violating it. If we want to avoid suffering, we cannot change this universal law by worshipping or praying to gain what we need to satisfy our ambitions. This is what the Buddha taught us. We cannot do something and then simply wish it. Natural reaction will go away. If we do good, we will be welcomed by God. If we do evil, we will be chased by evil. Some people have another kind of craving for non-existence. People can ask how this ambition not to exist can become a craving. Naturally, those who hold on to this belief do so due to their frustration resulting from unsatisfied craving. Some people crave not to exist again here or hereafter because of this craving. They try to commit suicide. Some others believe that there would not be another life hereafter. But so long as mental pollution is active, no one can stop becoming again or rebirth by force. If we are not happy with this life, mental purification is the only solution to stop existence again. When the mind is free from all our worldly ambitions, selfish desire or craving, we will be free from all our physical and mental problems and suffering that we have to face. Ambitions must be diverted to serve others as well as to serve ourselves without selfish desire. That means complete liberation from worldly conditions. Let us remember, therefore, that Buddhism is not against people having a pleasant time during their existence on earth. The Buddha preached the middle path, which advocates a rational way of life, which neither punishes by deprivation nor penders by excess. Buddhism teaches us to be moderate in the enjoyment of harmless sensual pleasures. At the same time, it encourages the gradual and consistent development of the spiritual life, which will eventually lead to the destruction of all craving, the root cause of unsatisfactoriness. Buddhists are not expected to become saint overnight. Rather, they are shown how to gain final release from the pain of existence again and again. The way to this is to practice morality, sila, concentration, samadhi, and panya, wisdom. Even the fully enlightened one, the Buddha, took many innumerable lifetimes to attain this goal. Buddhism is a practical religion. The Buddha's message of peace, love, compassion, and non-violence, patience, and tolerance is remarkable and honored by every cultured man in this world. Although this message was given more than 2,500 years ago, still we feel it is practical and fresh, reasonable for the whole mankind. Unfortunately, many of those so-called followers of the Buddha are not following the advice given by this great religious teacher. He was a teacher who was superior and much ahead of his time. He was a master who taught us what we should do if we want to recover our balance, our harmony, our love, and our friendship. We are in a world torn by strife and hatred. What did the Buddha say to such people? Overcome anger by non-anger. Overcome hatred by love. Can we do it? Are we practicing the advice given by this religious teacher? If a man does not practice it, he is unworthy to call himself a follower of the Buddha. According to the Buddha, those who follow such advice are his real followers. Simply by worshipping or praying to the Buddha, one cannot become a real follower. You must develop the Bodhi heart of wisdom, a heart of love, a heart of understanding. If we are to do so, develop ourselves, then we should be contributing our share to make the world a better place for all of us to live. It is a religion for us to live and to allow others also to live. Enjoy your happiness and allow others also to experience their happiness. Practice your religion and allow others also to practice their religion. This is the Buddhist attitude. It is said that although the Buddha's teachings are more than capable of maintaining real peace and happiness, still, people are not capable enough to understand. Human beings are responsible for everything. They have to cleanse their hearts, scrutinize their own nature, and determine themselves to practice and uphold the noble teachings. This teaching was basically simple and meaningful. To put an end to evil, to fulfill all good, to purify the mind. This is the advice of all the Buddha. He taught the people how to eradicate ignorance. He encouraged them to maintain freedom in the mind, to think free. Rigid rituals, rigid dogmas, blind faith, and the caste system all had no place in his way of life. All were one in the eyes of the Buddha. By every trick of what he said and of what he did and what he was, he demonstrated himself to be the pure, eminent man in his day. He declared a faith of service, a ministry of sacrifice, an achievement. He advised us to start our life from today onward as beginning of our life and to fulfill our endless responsibilities and duties of our daily existence here and now without depending on others to do it for us.